to this step, the recruits had to pass a civil service and a physical fitness test. Now they'll spend 22 weeks at the academy. There, they'll train more before working out in the field. For Talk Radio 1390 WFBL, I'm News 10 Now's Tammy Palmer. Now here's your forecast.
It is going to be a changeable day across central New York weather-wise, with temperatures falling back into the 30s later this afternoon and winds picking up in that 15 to 35 mile per hour range. Hang on to your hats and the steering wheel. We do expect a period of rain and snow showers with little to no accumulation expected. Tonight, winds will stay busy this evening before settling down overnight. Any flurries sticking around this evening are also expected to end overnight with some clearing taking hold. Low temperatures down in the upper teens to low 20s. For Talk Radio 1390 WFBL, I'm News to Now meteorologist Todd Kirkman.
Oh, drat these computers. They're so naughty and so complex.
Listen, I'm in big trouble. You know anything about computers?
We share our wisdom with those who seek it.
I reckon you know a lot about cyberspace.
MajorGeeks.com presents the Technology Geeks. The geeks are here to take your call.
Call 421-9325 now and ask them your computer and technology questions.
The Technology Geeks are brought to you by
MajorGeeks.com.
MajorGeeks.com is your best place to get tested, virus-free shareware tools for your computer. If your computer needs a fix, go to bootcamp at MajorGeeks.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions. Power your company with the most recognized name in energy. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions. The switch is on. USA DataNet. Offering a variety of phone and internet services. Find out more at usadatanet.com. Content Watch. Internet filtering, spam, and pop-up blocking for home and business. Try it out at contentwatch.com. Now, here they are.
I'm a geek.
Basically, he was a geek.
Leave me alone, geek boy.
The Technology Geeks.
It's time we programmed your brain to be a bit more productive.
That's right. The guy from Saturn 6 is here with us today on the show. My name is Eric Toll. I am your host this week as Mr. Rayo. Hey. Is out at an emergency call in Denver, I think.
For nice. Whom the Eric Tolls.
That's right.
Eric Tolls for the
tea. Yep. Tollhouse cookies. That's right. That's me.
Yeah, you heard them all.
Here with Mr. Tim Tibbetts.
Very good.
And Jim McMahon of the famed website MajorGeeks.com.
Excellent.
And this is the Geek Show. This week we are talking about computer software. What is necessary? Obviously the basics. We have operating systems, browsers, virus, and its spyware, email browser.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a browser, though, is it? It's more of an email client, I like to call it, but
there you
that's
go.
Okay. Other tools and application software.
This is kind of a follow-up to last week. We basically kind of were telling people how to look for a new computer, where the deals were, what kind of processors they wanted to look for. So this is kind of follow-up if you've gone out and you've bought a computer. It's a very, very common question that comes up, I think, in our forums. You could probably search and probably find it 100 different times in there. I've got a new computer, now what? So we're going to just kind of go over a couple of those things as to what you want to have installed on your machine for a new setup.
Great. I know I like to always start off with XP Pro. I've got a CD that's actually slipstreamed with Service Pack 2 in it.
Yep.
That's a cool way to do it. There's articles on the net about it, but basically you don't have to install XP and then put your Service Pack 2 on top.
It's right already pre-done into the CD, so you install XP and Service Pack 2 at the same time.
Yeah, handy step. Save you maybe 20 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Well, if you're on dial-up, you know,
oh, God,
it could save you half a lifetime.
We really feel for you if you're on dial-up, folks.
Yeah. But the operating system right now is that the people are actually getting choices. I believe that Dell is now offering a Linux box, or soon going to be offering a Linux box, and I've seen other places now are often offering that as well.
That's nice, because you save that $139 to $200, depending on how much they want to charge. I know I just built myself a nice tower at work that is an AMD 64-bit X2 4200 Plus. It's overclocked to a 4400, but it's beautiful. I love it. It's an Antec case. I got my favorite thing in the case is a Neo HE550 power supply. The HE stands for high efficiency, and
it's got fans.
It has a fan, but it has yet to turn on. When I put my hand in back of the case and I put it in front of that power supply, it's cold to the touch.
Really?
The fan has yet to come on. I got a new egg for about $129, and that would be my highly recommended technology item for this week.
See, I just bought a new system as well, and one of the things that was agitating me was the noise of the fans. And I was looking to replace the power supply, so that's a good tip.
Neo HE550.
Yeah. Does it have the cables that go and plug in? Where they've got a lot of power supplies now, where it used to be everything came in a big pile of wires, and anybody that's opened their computer has seen it. There's just wires everywhere. What they got now is they're already pre-wrapped and pre-plugged in. So if you have two hard drives, you actually plug in the two wires, run them to your hard drive,
right,
and that's it. There is no excess wire. Which, in nowadays with hot computers, less wires is better airflow.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen those yet?
The modular ones?
Yeah.
Antec has that. The one that I have has that. I like it. There was a couple of few connectors, because I like to have a ton of D-shaped connectors and one for serial ATA. And it's the ATX, I think it's a 24-pin instead of 20. Mm-hmm. It has the extended ATX. On the new motherboards, like an Asus, or that's my favorite. But
I like a ton
of connectors.
I like having a lot of cables hanging around in my system. It makes me feel like I'm using it. You know, I mean, if it's not like loose stuff hanging around, things flopping and hitting the fans, I'm not putting it to good use.
Well, in my case, I have two. I have an aluminum one at home, and I just have a steel one at my office. And they have a side clear window, and you can see into the case. You can see that the fans are turning. No, I don't have any of the neon bling lights, but those are cool too. So you can see into mine. So I'm really anal about running everything that I can along the sides and using those zip ties, or as one guy on the net likes to refer to them as, that's not a zip tie, it's a USGS tactical polymer mil-spec retention system.
I like it.
Yeah, they're usually clear plastic.
Copyright that.
They click when you pull them, you know, and then you can put cables in there, and then you usually lop off the end.
Yeah.
Cool.
But anyway, what do we got here?
We're going to roll. Well, you got the rest of the stuff we're doing this week, I guess. Poor Eric.
Don't forget to listen to us live, because you probably already are. Are we up, Gus?
Nobody's listening.
No one's listening. Give us a call at 421-9325. If you can actually hear my voice. We're doing a sound check live on today's show. Call us up. Ask us a question. We have all kinds of insanity genius here to answer your computer questions.
Yeah, and half that, right?
Something like that.
Got half of that.
We're all deranged. Waveformat at radioshowlinks.com. And you can also check out past shows on our website, thetechnologygeeks.com.
There you go.
And we have a caller.
Very good. We've got the Geek of the Week software pick. Jim's got that coming up, and we have the Website of the Week coming up. And next week, we have Will Smith is going to return for the first time this year, which is always great because he's just a great guy to talk to.
Getting jiggy with it.
Oh, yeah. It's just an awesome magazine, you know.
I got to ask him. I'm not going to be around next week, so you guys ask him this for me. I have a Western Digital Raptor, serial ATA, 10,000 RPM. Slowest part of the computer is a hard drive, so I tried to get the fastest one I could get.
Mm-hmm.
My friend went out and bought a Mac Store, 7,200 RPM, 200 gig. His is in Cysoft Sandra, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Close
his
enough.
Is like 54 megabits, and mine's 55. How can that be?
Well, yours is faster.
Yeah, but only by one.
1 meg by one.
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. But if you do the benchmarks in there... it'll graph your system against other high-performance peripherals out there, and you can really see how fast your system is. I really like that. I know Tim's used that one before. We've got a caller. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Good.
This is Wee Todd. Good.
How are you today?
Yeah, wonderful.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, there was somebody listening to you, at least one person.
Yay, we had an applause.
Yay.
So I thought I'd call and say, hey, guys.
What's going on? Can we help you with anything today?
Yeah, there's this one computer a buddy of mine is trying to find on the video card what its specs wanted, and it blinks a lot. Whenever you go to change a page, it blinks, and to go back to the desktop, it constantly shifts and finally comes up. They just plugged it in and started using it.
A brand new video card they just installed?
No, computer.
Oh, okay.
And it blinks. Is it a cathode? Is it a big monitor or a flat panel?
Flat.
And it blinks.
What brand computer?
Dell.
Okay. So you turn it on. When does it start blinking?
They had it on, and they said, what the heck's wrong with it? And I just tried playing with it, froze up, and said, I have no idea. You just plugged this in yesterday and just started doing work on it.
Can you boot off the CD or do anything like that?
No, you always have to go into the computer to get it to run.
Right. Hmm. The question is, I had a problem with Adele before. Last time I had a problem with it was a memory stick was bad, and it was very flaky on and off for a while. I'm just wondering about cleaning, putting the operating system in clean. Can you boot from their recovery CD?
Yeah, it's
I haven't tried.
It's brand new, though, right?
Doesn't matter. I've had them come in. I've had them come in corrupted. I've had them come in with bad memory. There's a billion possibilities here.
Does the monitor work anytime or just never?
No, it works all the time. It's just for a brand new computer, and if they're online, it takes forever and a day for a page to load.
Uh-huh.
And I'm on dial-up, and I know that feeling.
Yep.
And they're on the cable. So I was just wondering, quick question, see if I can have a simple fix for them.
This is Marv, isn't it?
I would check the display properties, too. And these flat panels, the most you want to drive them is like 60 hertz.
Uh-huh.
You right-click on the display properties, look at the advanced settings, look at the screen refresh on that thing, and see what it's driving at. It should be plug-and-play. Windows should recognize it. Do you have decent power? Are you running a grounded outlet? Do you have a good line conditioner or maybe a battery backup, UPS,
Reseat the video card. These things were shipped across the country.
That could help.
Pull the video card out, literally, and then reseat it. That's called reseating, just pulling it out, putting it back in, because these things did ship across the country. Something could have come loose.
I have seen problems with the Dell 2400s that have the Intel cards in them, where when you warm boot the computer, the video doesn't come back, but if you cold boot the computer, the video does work. That's why I asked the question before. So you can try that, and it could be just simply a function that the video card is not, top notch, and it was a $250 computer. If that doesn't work, you might want to call tech support at Dell, set aside a half a day, and learn how to speak Indian.
Wow. Okay. Do they really sub that out to Dell? That is a good idea, though. I mean, new computers from Dell will come with a warranty. You're entitled to talk to tech support if there's a problem, especially even if you didn't buy a warranty and it's under 30 days, you can talk to them and they'll help you set it up or, cross-ship you a new box if there is a defect in it.
But my guess, knowing the caller here, is it's probably a biological problem.
There is another question on the refresh rate, the screen refresh rate.
Yeah, go.
Which you said, I thought I saw that the video card wanted a 75 hertz, and it was set at 60, and then I was called away from the computer.
Yeah, you definitely want to set your monitor to 75 if your monitor will do it. Whatever its maximum is always better.
Okay.
All right, so you need that. You want to try that first? That's the easiest thing.
That's what I thought.
All right, Marvy.
Thanks, guys. Have a lovely day.
Thanks for the call.
See ya.
Are we needing to break now? Gus says yes, he's breaking things in his hand. There's nothing there, but we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, more of the show, more of your calls at 421-9325.
Playing charades.
And, we got to get him a pencil.
What's that other game?
Two syllables.
Cut.
First word. We'll be right back, guys.
We'll have more of your calls in a moment after we defrag the phone system. It's the Technology Geeks on Talk Radio 1390, WFBL.
11.
That's the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography on the web.
4.
That's how many clicks it takes for a child to disable conventional internet security.
1.
That's one time too many for any child to be exposed to internet predators. You can't argue with the numbers. That's why Content Watch developed the most advanced web filter, so you get the strongest line of defense against harmful attacks. For a free trial, go to contentwatch.com.
0. That's how many times I should see the bad side of the internet.
With the retail deregulation of electricity over the past several years, it makes sense for your company to purchase their energy from a third-party supplier. If your business does not choose a third-party supplier, the only alternative is to purchase your energy from your local utility under the rates the utility charges. You don't get to negotiate with your local utility to try and get the best price. You pay what they say. New York Energy is your customer-oriented solution to the turmoil in the deregulated energy market. Con Edison Solutions chose New York Energy Energy to manage and deliver their energy in upstate New York. That's right, Con Ed Solutions, the company that provides energy and industry-leading service at the best possible price, can be your energy provider. New York Energy, backed by the financial strength and stability of Con Edison Solutions, can power your company. If you want the best in power for the best value, you need to call New York Energy right now at 866-815-2343. 866-815-2343. Or visit them on the web at nyenergy.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions, the right choice to power your business.
Okay, maggots, this is your Major, Major Geek, and I'm here to explain to you sorry excuses for computer users how to get great tools to improve your computer's performance for free. Go to my boot camp at MajorGeeks.com. If you need virus protection or you want to get rid of those spies stealing information from your computer, get it from the geek. MajorGeek.com gives you great software to try for free. Now, I know in the past you've been soft, going to them computer stores, shelling out your hard-earned dough for those pretty software boxes you see, only to find what's on the outside is not what's on the inside. Those days are over. At my site, MajorGeeks.com, you get safe, tested, geek-reviewed software from hundreds of software publishers, and you get to try it before you buy it. Now listen here, maggots. If you don't want to be a book private all your life, I order you to get to MajorGeeks.com. Spell it for me, soldier.
MajorGeeks.com.
I can't hear you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my underground lair.
Nice. We got to get one of those. There's a couple times we tried to play sounds, and it didn't work.
And it doesn't even not work. Exactly. I have my little portable Wintel phone here. Actually, it's not a Wintel, but it is running Microsoft Windows, so I have to reboot my phone every once in a while. We have a caller, Rick with Explorer Problems. Rick, what are you exploring today?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? You know, I just had a little problem with my HP. It's got the 6-in-1 card reader came standard with the computer. And then, of course, I think it's maybe about a year after I bought it, there was an update on Microsoft's Windows update there for the 6-in-1 card reader. And, you know, I mean, everything works fine. I can put my compact flash or my SD card in there. It reads it. You know, but the thing is, when I open up Windows Explorer, you know how it shows your C drive, and then it shows your the next drives down the line there, and it's got my DVD burner, and then where it should say CD-ROM drive E, it says compact flash twice in a row because it's duplicating the next drive after my CD-ROM, which is the compact flash reader on that 6-in-1 card reader. So, but if I click on it to eject, it will eject, and my CD-ROM works. It was just annoying to see the compact flash icon and it being identified as a compact flash reader when actually it's my CD-ROM drive, which is the E drive. Now, I went into Device Manager, everything looks good there. I went into System Information and it does identify it as the E drive, which it should.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can't change that. I'm not sure how to change that icon. I know there's a way to do it. I just can't. I tried refreshing. That doesn't work either.
You're not going to physically be able to rename it. When you were in Device Manager, did you remove your CD? You know, actually hit remove.
No, I was going to do that. I was going to remove it and then let Windows reinstall it. But I was like, before I do that, I was going to read up on something else, and then
absolutely.
I was on my way in the car. I usually listen to this station during the week for the talk radio, and I heard you guys. I was like, oh, way too cool. I'm going to call him. Maybe they can help me out.
We apologize.
We're really sorry about that. The without going into the registry itself and editing what that drive letter means and is going to display, you're not going to be able to rename it anywhere easily in the operating system. But probably what happened when you did the update, it just
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Yeah. Sure.
Your signal, I got my phone turned all the way down, and I can barely understand you because your signal is really overdriven.
Wow.
Nice.
We're
overclocked.
I'm having a hard time understanding you, sorry.
We're overclocked. We're running at a 10% higher volume.
Overmodulated.
Over and whoever said overmodulated said it was crystal clear. It was the other guy.
Oh, really?
Oh, we need a new microphone.
Well,
the guy that said we need a new microphone, you're coming in crystal clear. The other fellow that's talking to me is right. Really just buzzing bad. I can't hardly understand him.
Just so you
know.
How
am I now?
Hey, impedance on your microphone. Thanks for calling. Let me tell you when you might want to start. No, I'm kidding.
Nice job. Yeah, your drivers just got confused. Just go in and delete it in Device Manager, let Windows redetect it, and it should rename it properly.
Okay, thanks, guys. That's probably what I should have done. Thank you very much. And, hey, I'm enjoying your show, man.
Thanks.
I'm going to listen to you guys from now on.
Listen, if your computer crashes, it was Jim's fault. J-I-M.
Call us back if that doesn't do it.
Jim Tibbetts.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Rick. We have another call. Yeah. Bill in Groton. We have an opera problem.
Hello.
Hey, Bill.
Hi, how are you guys today?
You have an opera problem, huh?
I guess you guys got the guinea pig on the treadmill this morning because I can hear the show over
the air. We fed the chipmunks and the wheels are spinning.
And, well, what I have a problem with is one particular site.
Okay.
It's the Nantech Forums.
Okay.
And
it's a very good site.
I can't log in. And, I can log... Yesterday I was able to log in once in the morning, and I was able to log out,
mm-hmm.
and then I couldn't log in again after that.
What was the message?
You just enter your, login name and password,
okay,
and hit the submit button,
right,
and it just comes back, and you have to do it again.
I usually go right for a cookie cleaner.
No error message.
Yeah. You probably got some stale cookies in there, or maybe cookies aren't enabled. Do you use any of the forms-based utilities that remember your usernames and passwords and credentials and things for websites to automatically sign you in?
Yeah, the Opera comes with Magic Wand or something like that.
Right.
Try breaking
the Magic Wand or clean it out and go back fresh. Dump your cash, dump the cookies, go back to the site.
But if I do it manually, Magic Wand, you got to click the little Magic Wand symbol for it to fill in the form for you.
Right.
So, if I do it manually and just enter the information, it still won't log in.
What about a different browser? What operating system are you running, Bill?
Windows 2000.
Okay. Do you have, Firefox? Have you tried that?
Well, I have Mozilla. It works fine.
Okay. Why do you like Opera over Firefox?
I just installed it the other day. It's not Firefox. I have them, but Mozilla both. The big suite, not the separates.
The Thunderbird and the full deal, huh?
No, I don't have Thunderbird or Firefox. It's Mozilla. It's one integrated. Everything's all in one. It's their original thing. It's like the original Netscape.
Right.
And that works fine. And Opera, I wanted to try because it's smaller and faster.
Oh, very good.
And
do you have the latest version of Opera?
It's 8.51.
Yep.
What, build 7712 or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Right. I'm not sure what AMD Tech uses to develop their website. It could be Cold Fusion. It could be, Internet Explorer. It could be Active Server Pages. Sometimes Microsoft-developed websites don't work well with other browsers. That could be, any number of things.
I'd still like to see him. I don't know if he's done it lately or not, if he's cleared his cache and all his cookies and his index stat with CCleaner.
I was able to log in once and log out, and then I couldn't log in again after I'd done that.
It sounds like they're having a problem handling the Opera browser, like Eric said. Once you log in, clean your cookies, log in, don't log out, and it should remember you from there on out.
You don't have to log out.
There's no reason to.
Which is another possibility to get around. It's just don't log out. I mean, I never log out.
And there's probably a checkbox that says "Remember me." That's what sets the date on the cookies for your credentials. That tell it to never expire, basically.
Yeah.
So when you go back, it'll just welcome back, Bill.
That's a good point. You're not running any ad blocking or cookie blocking software, are you?
The only thing I'm really running is that custom host file that you can get. That's got 200,000 lines in it.
Oh, God.
Blocks a bunch of stuff.
No.
That'll slow you down quite a bit. Windows system 32 drivers, Etsy host, and you got 200,000 entries in your host file?
It doesn't slow me down at all because you
just did.
Have to change one thing, and it's just as fast as it always was.
That's a very bad idea to run that file. for a number of reasons. But it's you're not going to save any speed, and it will slow you down.
I would like to see you take that out and see if you can connect at that point. But otherwise, there could be a glitch with their forms we can't help you with. So.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Those host files are gigantic. There are a lot of problems, and it looks like we're ready for break.
He broke the pencil. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Technology Geeks right here on Talk Radio 1390 WFPL and on the net.
The Technology Geeks want to remind you that if you're having trouble tuning in the program, try restarting your radio. More with the Technology Geeks is coming up on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
Picture this. You take your computer in for service. The technician tells you that it will cost over $50 just to look at it. He takes your computer and passes it through a window that he calls the service department. Your computer has just entered the Twilight Zone. To avoid the mysteries of computer service, take your computer to the computer outlet. The computer outlet charges no minimum to look at your computer. You only pay for the work they actually do. And don't worry about your computer disappearing into a black hole. The computer outlet service department is in the front of the store, right out in the open. The computer outlet also has a large selection of new and used computers, plus a wide variety of computer parts and accessories. The computer outlet has two convenient locations, 8274 Route 11 in Cicero, just a half mile south of Route 31, and 16 East Utica Street in Oswego. So to avoid this, take your computer to the computer outlet today.
Is that monthly internet bill starting to really break the bank? When you can surf the internet for $9.95, why would you ever pay more? That's right. At USA DataNet, you get unlimited internet access for only $9.95. There's no setup fees, you get unlimited email addresses, and a high-speed dial-up connection. With USA DataNet, you receive the same fast, reliable internet service you get with a big-name provider, but for a fraction of the cost. And those aren't the only features USA DataNet offers. There are no contractual commitments, and USA DataNet provides a friendly, full, technical support team to answer any of your questions. So now, you can get the same internet for a much better deal. Go to usadatanet.com to sign up today. See for yourself why so many people are turning to USA DataNet for their internet service. Don't delay and keep throwing your money away. Go to usadatanet.com and join today. USA DataNet, the same internet for a much better deal.
Welcome back. I am your
host?
Ringleader.
Yeah.
And I'm on the air. And we're on the air.
No sounds?
No sound. I had my headphones down, but we are back. And
I did want to mention
Mr. Tim Tibbetts has
I did want to mention something to Bill.
Follow up here.
The problem with the host files is, like you said, they're huge, and they have thousands and thousands of sites in there that are blocked. If you visit any forums, go ahead and browse them all. Sounds like I think Bill's called regular. I think he's a pretty savvy guy. You visited forums, all you got to do is say the wrong thing to the wrong person, they ban you. Well, if somebody wrote one of these host programs and didn't like a Nantech and put a Nantech in there, that would be your problem. We had a guy before, he wrote a program, he was mad at us. If you installed his program, you could no longer reach MajorGeeks.com because he was mad at us.
Yeah.
So when you deal with these little guys who are sitting in their basement writing a host file, in that host file, I'm sure if you take the time and open it up and look through it, you're going to find some sites in there that don't belong in there. They always do.
Absolutely.
So just give it a try,
yeah,
and let us know how you make out with it if taking a host file out of there lets you connect to there. And, of course, like we said, the biggest problem is I think that browser is probably the smallest segment of the market, so to run into an occasional glitch or an incompatibility here and there isn't that odd.
And the host file is intentionally for speeding up DNS lookups, which you don't need to do these days because DNS servers are extremely quick. So now it's being used to blacklist things, which is not what it's meant for, so it doesn't work very well.
Right.
And as you mentioned during the break, you do not need the host file to block these sorts of sites. You need Spyware Blaster.
Right.
And if you run Spyware Blaster, you're fine. It's going to cover you, and it's going to work, and it's going to work every time, and things will be happy, happy, happy.
Spyware Blaster's in our spyware section. It'll block thousands and thousands of websites, pornography, known spyware.
Is this the ActiveX plugin or whatever? It's Internet Explorer?
No, it's its own little program that you install. You just run it, and then you just enable all protection, close it, and you're done with it.
Is that the one that SpyBot Search and Destroy recommends?
It might be.
They might recommend it. I think everybody recommends it. Yeah. It's a beautiful little front end to the browser that takes care of all the ActiveX problems, takes care of all the cookie problems, takes care of all the surfing problems.
And this is freeware.
Freeware.
Yeah, it's freeware. Gratis and for nothing.
I will put a link to it on the Technology Geeks after the show.
Spyware Blaster. Get it at MajorGeeks.com.
It's the first program I install on any computer.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Me too.
And then you don't have to mess around with this host file stuff. If anybody wants to know more about the host file stuff, visit our forums. We'll talk about it. Those of you who are running it, stop. Get Spyware Blaster.
Okay, and Mr. Tim Tibbetts with the news.
Yay. We mentioned last week Symantec had a whole bunch of bugs. Well, they have started delivering product updates to users through the automatic live update feature, they said Tuesday. Previously, any updates to Symantec software were only delivered via the annual release of new product versions. So this is a new one. It's a pretty large update. If you have any of the Symantec products, this includes Norton Internet Security 2006, Antivirus 2006, SystemWorks, and the corporate edition of their antivirus. You should be updated now via the live update.
Is that anything to do with the rootkit that they were using?
Yes, it is.
I got rooted.
DDR2 prices on the rise. We've been talking for, what now, 2-3 years about what a great deal you can get on memory, and it's such a great upgrade because it's just the cheapest thing. $50, you throw 256 megs in. Well, now they're saying that it's heading up on the rise. They're saying to blame Samsung, blaming their inadequate bit supply, which pushed 512-meg chips up 5% to 464. So if you want to get memory, it might be a good idea to jump now.
I think that's the first time any price increase hasn't been blamed on oil in the last, 6 months.
Or Microsoft.
I remember years ago when one of their chip plants burned down, and, you know, the whole supply and demand thing kicked in, and memory just doubled within, a month. It was just amazing.
Seagate had the same problem, too. Their factory had burned down one time, and their hard drive quality kind of went down for about a year and slowly came back. I remember that.
Had that smoky smell to them.
Yep. And if you
all computers run on smoke, you know why? When they stop working, the smoke comes out.
Run, run.
Ah, he's got fire truck sounds. I thought it was the police. Hey, if you're looking for a budget card, NVIDIA announced Wednesday it's launching its latest graphic controller. It's a lower performance counterpart to the GeForce 7800, which is their high-end card right now. This one's called the 7300GS. It's going to drop some of the performance metrics like pixels per clock, vertex fill rate and all that fancy stuff that nobody knows what we're
pipelines.
Talking about. Exactly. So basically what they're saying is it's going to be a slower card. It's just a cheap, for $99 to get into a newer technology card, this is probably a good way to go because it's going to support pixel shader.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're after if you're playing some of the game stuff. So for $99, that's a nice way to go. It should be, I guess apparently for some reason, they say it's going to arrive in time for Chinese New Year.
When is that?
It's apparently January 26th.
Wow.
And North America and Europe should be here early February, so the first week or two. So if you're looking for a budget card, $99 for a gaming video card and a budget is probably a decent thing to take a look at.
It's better than
$500. Yep.
So I saw an article on some of these guys that were trying to unlock, and they successfully did unlock the extra pipelines on the card through some hack, but then they have these artifacts, they're called. Basically, it's a small glitch on the screen in the games, and I think it's irreversible. I'm not sure, but one of those was a GS card, because they all have the same manufacturing facility, so this one will have, four pipelines instead of eight, and obviously the more pipes you have, the more traffic, the more bandwidth, the faster graphics and everything are, but it's interesting that people are taking apart their cards and hacking them a little bit to try to get that extra little something out, and now they get the artifacts on the screen. Yeah. And I think it's permanent. Now you've just modded your $200-some-odd card, and
Sell it on eBay.
Sell it on eBay. No artifacts.
And just so I can talk about porn, we have some porn in the news. Three of the four major search engines subpoenaed by the Bush administration have acknowledged they've handed over search data in the government's effort to revive an anti-porn law that was rejected by the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, Microsoft, who owns MSN, Yahoo, and America Online, so we just covered 60-70% of the people listening, said they sent data to the government, but insisted no personal information on users was given to government attorneys. Now, here's the beauty of this one. The exception among major search engines was Google, which said it would vigorously fight the government's requests to hand over any data.
Huh.
Which I love it. Love
I thought
Google.
This was all child porn related. I mean, if it's all about that, then I think it's definitely worth them stepping in and catching these losers that are doing this stuff.
Well, there's actually two stories. There's an influential U.S. senator warned the adult entertainment industry on Thursday if it does not develop a rating system for its internet content, Congress will.
Ugh.
He said, "My advice to your clients is that you better do it soon or we will mandate it if you don't," Republican Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska, chairman of the Commerce Committee, told Paul Cambria, general counsel to the Adult Freedom Foundation.
What a dumb thing to do.
Exactly. Now, we talked about this earlier. Here's my thing. There's three huge things they could go after that are overseas. There's a lot of overseas. Pornography. You'll find quite a bit, a lot of it local, but a lot of it's overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Spyware. And poker.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at the three. Everybody's affected by spyware. Nobody's being killed by poker. Nobody's. I mean, like you said, there's pornography out there. You don't need to be seen. You need to keep an eye on your kids and the like. But if they want to focus their efforts on something, how about focusing your efforts on the one thing that's affecting everybody? I mean, I can't even surf porn with spyware, right?
Or you're forced to. Depending
on
what's installed in your machine.
Exactly. So, you know, the stuff that comes in my email box, and I'm no prude, but I got stuff in my email box, I can't even read it. It's just disgusting.
It just sounds like they're looking for a way to get a foothold into the Internet, which has been beautifully government-free mm-hmm. since the dawn
mm-hmm.
of time.
Yep. Because usually what happens in this... He might be okay on this one. Is anytime they try and decide they're going to charge, you know, we're going to regulate this, we're going to regulate that, you know, obviously everybody stands up and says, well, okay, yeah. You're going to regulate it, but how are we going to pay for it? Yeah. And there's nobody on the Internet. There's no reason for these guys to be regulating this stuff. And frankly, it's been my experience that some of the stupidest people in computers are politicians.
Oh, absolutely.
They have no clue what they're doing. No. I mean, I don't think you'd be hard-pressed.
Our best and our brightest don't go into politics.
No.
Our best and our brightest go into industry.
Right.
So we're left with the dregs that end up getting high-powered jobs.
Well yeah. said. And special interest-funded people. I mean, all these guys seem to be for sale with the campaign contributions, and it's just ridiculous. I think it's tough, though, for, you know, Internet is global. You can't police the whole world, and why should we have to pay for it? There's got to be something more elegant. No, I don't want to see them change the TCP/IP stack where just a few select companies get to control it. You know, the packets have always been open, and I think it should stay that way. I mean, after all, we being us guys, get, you know, we get jobs, we get work, we get we're helping you because of some of the stuff that's out there. I mean, let's face it, spyware. There are ways to deal with it, but. Is it ever going to be perfect? I don't think so.
My regret is that they're just getting around to deciding that they want to regulate porn. And frankly, it's been around since I could surf the Internet in DOSBox. So, whereas spyware has only been around for a couple, two, 3 years.
Yeah.
So what's that, chameleon,
what's that mean? Get your chameleon TCP/IP stack.
Right. Another, what, 10 years before they get around to deciding they're going to try and help somebody out with spyware? Put your efforts where they can.
Well, I'd like to see them do that top-level domain thing with a .xxx or whatever. At least you could say, okay... All the adult stuff is going to be on this, and now you can block that.
Who's going to give up their multi-million-dollar domain name like whitehouse.com so that they can have whitehouse.xxx?
Maybe that's what they're all mad about, the whitehouse.com. Don't type that in, please, people, by the way.
Please don't. Yeah, that's...
It's whitehouse.gov.
.gov is the one you want. Yeah.
If you'd like to go to the president's
I almost forgot. Please don't type that in.
But, I mean, those sites are worth multi-million dollars. They're not going to give them up just to do that, and it's one way to block them.
Well, they could still redirect them.
Yeah.
They could still redirect them, but I would vote for that myself, but, you know, is it going to be perfect? No. We now go to the Geek of the Week software pick.
We need some reverb on that when you say it.
Geek of the Week!
That sucked.
All right, we'll try it again. And again, and again.
No, no, please don't. Right.
What do we got?
Since we've already covered Spyware Blaster today, I want to, since I've been on vacation for the last couple of weeks.
You ain't kidding.
Everybody either got an iPod or a digital camera for Christmas this year. And I'd like to cover it for a little something for the people who got a digital camera. At MajorGeeks.com, under our data recovery section, there's a little tool called Zero Assumption Digital Image Recovery. It's freeware, and what happens is if you're on, you're taking pictures with your digital camera, you take a little picture of Fluffy on the couch and then you accidentally delete it, this program can go in, read the memory card on your camera, and just fix the file for you. So you can, and it's called Zero Assumption Digital Image Recovery. Really easy to use. Just grabs any photo that was on that, repairs it, and drops it right to your C drive for you.
I like that. Assume nothing.
Assumes nothing. Yeah. So
we all know about assumptions.
Yeah.
We do.
That's neat. The file is going to be there on the card, and unless you take like 100 more pictures and actually overwrite that space, you delete a file on your drive or your flash drive, it's still there until it's actually
overwritten.
Physical contiguous region. Can I say that on the air?
Contiguous?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to call my wife.
Contiguous region
that
is occupied by something else that's still there because it just takes the one or two bits and flip-flops them. So
it can't be seen, but then this can unflip those bits and get your stuff back.
And voila, now you have Fluffy again.
Yay.
Yay.
It's a beautiful thing. Yay.
All right. I guess that's it. We're going to head off to a break. We'll try and cover the computer software, what is necessary, the basics when we get back.
Call the Technology Geeks now at 00-11-0100-1100.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's binary.
Call them at 421-9325.
11.
That's the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography on the web.
4.
That's how many clicks it takes for a child to disable conventional internet security.
1.
That's one time too many for any child to be exposed to internet predators. You can't argue with the numbers. That's why Content Watch developed the most advanced web filter, so you get the strongest line of defense against harmful attacks. For a free trial, go to ContentWatch.com.
0. That's how many times I should see the bad side of the internet.
Picture this. You take your computer in for service. The technician tells you that it will cost over $50 just to look at it. He takes your computer and passes it through a window that he calls the service department. Your computer has just entered the Twilight Zone.
To avoid the mysteries of computer service, take your computer to the computer outlet. The computer outlet charges no minimum to look at your computer. You only pay for the work they actually do. And don't worry about your computer disappearing into a black hole. The computer outlet service department is in the front of the store, right out in the open. The computer outlet also has a large selection of new and used computers, plus a wide variety of computer parts and accessories. The computer outlet has two convenient locations, 8274 Route 11 in Cicero, just a half mile south of Route 31, and 16 East Utica Street in Oswego. So to avoid this, take your computer to the computer outlet today. With the retail deregulation of electricity over the past several years, it makes sense for your company to purchase their energy from a third-party supplier. If your business does not choose a third-party supplier, the only alternative is to purchase your energy from your local utility under the rates the utility charges. You don't get to negotiate with your local utility to try and get the best price. You pay what they say. New York Energy is your customer-oriented solution to the turmoil in the deregulated energy market. Con Edison Solutions chose New York Energy to manage and deliver their energy in upstate New York. That's right, Con Ed Solutions, the company that provides energy and industry-leading service at the best possible price, can be your energy provider. New York Energy, backed by the financial strength and stability of Con Edison Solutions, can power your company. If you want the best in power for the best value, you need to call New York Energy right now at 866-815-2343, 866-815-2343, or visit them on the web at nyenergy.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions, the right choice to power your business.
It's all about the busyness, baby.
Be hackers, code crackers, slackers, wasting time with all the chat room yackers. 9 to 5, chilling at the Packers, working at a desk with a dumb little.
Hello, we are back, and we are going to be talking about computer software, what is necessary? We already talked about operating systems. We talked a little bit about web browsers, Opera, Mozilla, Firefox, Internet Explorer, Conqueror. Can you name another browser? Anyone?
Chameleon.
Chameleon. I've never heard of that. Does it work well?
Absolutely.
That'll teach you to ask a question, huh?
Yeah.
It's all about questions. He who says he knows it all is lying.
Yep.
What about virus protection?
That's pretty basic. That's one of the things I always do is wipe the systems out and just get rid of Norton's or McAfee, whatever's on there.
Right.
And I usually shoot for AVG, possibly Avast.
And Mike Rail really likes Antivir, and I've been using
Antivir
that.
Antivir is the next one, yeah.
And is it Vir or Vir?
I guess Antivir I always thought it was. It's like the word antivirus without
virus,
the
virus. Because it's German. They have V's as W. But it's interesting. If you go to Antivir or Antivir, click on download, and from their site, guess where it takes you?
Where?
Major Geeks.
Does it really? We rock.
You guys are the, like, the first mirror for the commercial link.
Nice. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. And it's a great. It works with
spyware. Oh, is that why it's always number one in our download list?
Maybe.
Three or four, yeah.
That would explain it.
They got you guys links
I didn't
from
even
their
know
main
it,
site.
So. But yeah,
go
but
to Google, put in antivir. It'll take you to their site, and then you'll
go
back to the.
Just go to Major Geeks and click the antivirus. This is, after all, the MajorGeeks.com technology.
You could do that,
geeks.
Too.
Google gets enough press.
Yeah. Googly googly.
Give us some love. They get enough.
But
yeah.
I really like that one. It does viruses. It does spyware. Mm-hmm. It does hijackers and a couple of extra things. And it's free.
But that's three you can choose from depending on what you like. And frankly, all three of them are so easy to use. A lot of people think, oh, I'm going to get this free one. It's going to be complicated. It's not going to be reliable. It's not going to do a good job. Well, all these companies sell commercial products as well. If you're a big fan of AVG and you love it that much, give them $40 and get the professional version.
And that's good for like a year, right?
Yeah. I think, if I remember right, the new AVG, I think the AVG Plus Firewall at least, the one price allows you to install it on 5 computers, which is very rare.
Wow.
At least in this business environment, because you have to do your updates. So you have to be logged in, you got to have a serial number to do your updates, which is usually how they keep you from installing it on multiple machines.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this case, they're saying, here you go, give us $40-$50, here's AVG plus a firewall, and go install it on 5 computers.
Yeah.
You can't beat that. That's like, 5 for the price of 1.
Okay, so we've got Antivir, we've got AVG. Which one do you like, Jim?
I'm an AVG commercial guy from way back.
Mm-hmm.
Was a big fan of them. I'm a big anti-Norton guy.
Mm-hmm.
And McAfee. The big companies seem to be just tremendous bloatware.
Yeah.
It's
a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just system works. That is my worst.
Oh.
It gets in there, and like we were talking earlier, rootkits. You might as well be running a different operating system with Norton on there.
Yeah,
I mean, the antivirus, okay, but system works and the rest of the baggage that comes with it is really not worth it.
Now, we mentioned anti-spyware, too, when we were talking about Spyware Blaster, which is pretty much required, one of the first things you want to get in there. But then you have spyware tools, removal tools, and there's a pretty big market. I would suggest right now, I like the Microsoft anti-spyware because it's the one that's out there that's free, that resides in your tray and protects you as it goes. When something tries to change your browser, you know how you get those little buttons up in your browser for ICQ or AOL Instant Messenger. Anytime something tries to do that, it'll alert you and you can reject it. It's a very nice program. It's probably nice to have an adware or a spy bot on the side for occasional scanning, but so far I've had really good luck with Microsoft anti-spyware. That's going to be a required installation.
Adware is a nice one, too, to just run and scan through. Adware Personal Edition, I think they're up to 1.06 now. That's a good one to get. And SpyBot also has the resident little guy that will also watch, kind of like Tim was saying with the Microsoft one.
The G-Timer app, he was one of the first ones to give that away for free, but it's nowhere near as effective as Microsoft's is.
And it had a lot of bugs for a while.
Yeah,
has he resolved those yet?
Not really.
So you're looking at a year and a half of a resident program that's going to protect you on the fly with a lot of major bugs that have not been addressed.
Now, if you really like Adware, you can buy their version, and that'll give you that SysTray blocker called AdWatch.
I never actually bought that.
And that works really well.
Yeah.
Really well. That's very competitive with the Microsoft version. But again, Microsoft is free right now, not $20. The only problem with the Microsoft anti-spyware is only going to really work with XP or 2000, one of them, or later. If you have like ME or 9.8 or something like that, you're not going to be able to use it.
How about email clients? I like Mozilla's Thunderbird if you're going to be doing like POP3.
Absolutely. I'm an Outlook guy because I've been kind of stuck in that, and I've got all my stuff in there for years and years and years.
Contacts.
But Thunderbird rocks. If I ever get the opportunity to switch over, that's where I'm going to go.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a couple others, too. There's not a real lot out there in individual standalone email applications, which is why most people use Outlook. And actually, they're actually pretty good programs, Outlook and Outlook Express. So a lot of people don't even bother changing because they do everything they want. As you mentioned, Thunderbird's a real good choice. There's also the Bat. I don't know if they still give that away. Mm-hmm. They used to. That's pretty popular. There's a couple other ones.
Becky's
popular. That's been around for, geez, I don't even know how long. I mean,
of course, Outlook Express comes with most versions of Windows.
Right.
It's a free one.
Right.
The big one that I'm not a real big fan of, but people love it, is IncrediMail.
Yep.
That IncrediMail puts all these goofy little characters and
emotional
buttons.
Icons.
Oh, yeah.
They're the ones you get when you get the email with bright blue wallpaper
with
orange text and little buttons bounce around.
Now, I know that looks cute before you send it, but, I get about, 2,000 or 3,000 email a day, and some of them are kind of funny, but it loads so slow and all that. I just like plain text email when it comes in my box.
I know a guy, his name is Mike, and that's all
I'll
say.
Oh, lighty, lighty low.
And he keeps sending me emails, and he's always got that IncrediMail, and I always keep laughing at him.
There's a banner on the bottom, too. People don't realize that it might look great on there, but when they send it, there's a banner on the bottom advertising it.
They know. They just love those icons.
No.
It's huge, though. People love it. They love those big icons.
Yeah.
You know?
Pretty pictures. If it wasn't for pretty pictures, but...
Oh.
I'm a plain text guy. That's how I send my mail. That's how I like to receive it.
ASCII only, baby.
How about some of the other tools that you want? We've covered some of the stuff like... we've covered web browsers, virus, anti-spyware, emails. What else do we need? What do you got to have?
I like a good defragging utility. You guys ever use Disk Keeper?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one.
That's a beautiful program.
There's quite a few, and you can have a lot of fun just on the Disk Defragment tools alone.
Have a section on that, I assume?
It's under Drive Utilities.
There's also, what's that other one?
ONO.
It's German, y'all.
Yep, that one's pretty popular.
From Deutschland.
The one thing I like to do when I get a new computer after I secure it with a virus scanner or something like that, the first thing I put on it is either a benchmark or burn-in test to really kick the heck out of it. Because I don't want to load all my applications like Microsoft Office and all that stuff.
Just
to
find out something
bad. I know there's one we've got, Passmark Burn-In Test. That's a real good one for free. You can try. And then there's 1,000 different benchmarks.
3D Mark?
3D Mark 06 came out this week.
Drag your machine to its knees.
Yowza, if you want to know.
I thought 05 was pretty aggressive.
Even close.
Yeah, it came out this week. 590 meg download. You can get it from us. It was brutal. Now, it was brutal to host. I mean, people just downloading it by the thousands. Anybody who knows anything about bandwidth out there, we did 140,000 downloads of a 590 meg file in a day.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Now that you've got all this stuff done, you just spent 3-4 hours setting your new machine up. Download narrow burning ROM. I would even suggest you register it, pay for it, and use that as your primary thing. Now that you're all done, hopefully you have a DVD burner, put it in there, and burn an image to your drive. Yeah. Now, next time if you crash or you get spyware, all you got to do is pop that CD and boot off. It'll restore your computer. I'm thinking I'm probably about a half hour now. So now you've got a utility that will burn CDs, MP3s, DVD video, everything that you want, all in one utility, but most importantly, it's going to take all this work that you just spent hours and hours and hours on and back it up for you.
It images your system.
Yes.
I've always used Ghost for that.
I did 5 years ago.
Ghost is a good one. I love the DOS version of it.
Yes, it's simple.
Yeah.
You know it's actually working.
God, I love that. I happen to use Acronis True Image, Drive Imaging is basically taking a picture of your drive as it is right now, and it stores it elsewhere, in this case on a CD or DVD, so that if something goes horribly wrong, you can always just simply boot off the CD or DVD and reinstall the operating system as it is right then.
Go back to that moment in time. But it only works with that computer. And it's very specific because all your hardware is set up. You can't put it on a different system and expect to get back to that same look. So,
are we playing music or are we done?
I think we're just going to talk. Check out the technologygeeks.com, of course, majorgeeks.com for everything we've talked about today. And we will see you next week with Mr. Mike Rayo. Ciao, baby.
See ya.